I believe God has a word for us this morning, so let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our heart. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come in your presence, to worship and to hear. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. Your servants are listening. Lord, we want to walk in all that you have for us. We want to overcome. Lord, we want to fulfill your plan and purpose in our life. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we talked about the ABCs of change. You know, to get where we want to go in life, we have to be willing sometimes to make changes. If nothing changes, everything stays the same. So change has to happen sometimes. And it's not real complicated, no. A lot of the time, it's just simple change that will help us get headed in the right direction. But many times, our intentions are good, and yet, too often, we fail just for the lack of discipline. Discipline. That's a dirty word in our culture. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to hear that this morning. But I'm telling you that it is a key to us fulfilling all that God has for us. It's a key for us winning in life. You know, you probably heard Terry Savelle Foy say this many times, the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. It's so true. Make no mistake about it. Your daily habits are taking you somewhere. It's not just the big choices that you make in life. In fact, a lot of the time people have goals and dreams and they make these big decisions, but they don't follow through with the daily choices, with the patterns and habits of their routine. It takes discipline to change a routine, but it also takes discipline to stick with it. Discipline is supposed to be part of the Christian life. You know, we talk about being saved by grace, and that's all God. All we do is receive it through faith. He does it. But you know, when it comes to fulfilling the plan and purpose of God in your life, when it comes to living out the Christian life, we do have a part in it. And you need to understand that it takes discipline to truly live a Christian life. Now, all of the greatest achievers have this common denominator, discipline. Some people start off with great talent and ability, some more than others, of course, but nobody reaches their full potential without discipline. And when you think of those who have had a great impact on the world in history, the Apostle Paul has to be way, way at the top of the list. Near the end of his life, he was able to say, I have finished my course. He had completed all that God had given him to do. And he wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. We'll work our way through 27. I want you to remember that this was spoken through the Holy Spirit to us. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Paul says that we should run in a way that we are going to win. Now, you may not be a runner, you may not be an athlete at all, but we are all runners in the race of life. In Hebrews 12, 1, it tells us that we are to run the race marked out for us. Your race is not the same as my race or anybody else's race, but God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you've got to run that race, he tells us here, to win. God wants you to win in life. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to take some discipline along the way. But run to win. I hope that if you get married, your objective is to win, to have a great marriage. I hope it's not just, you know, the, well, we'll see, you know, I don't know if this is Mr. Right, but he's Mr. Right now. No, you get married, you're supposed to win. That's the way it's supposed to be, and that can happen, but it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen to everybody. I'm telling you, it takes discipline. If you have children, you got to stick with it. You got to be diligent and disciplined in raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You got to see them through the hard places, the rebellious times, and you keep on. I tell you, there's a reward at the end, but surely you want to win. You're running to win, not just haphazardly or aimlessly, but to win. See, and whatever God wants us to do, we should always be in it to win it. Not just hanging on to the end, not just surviving and making a living, but making a difference. And to do that, you got to run to win, run your race in such a way that you will win. Run your race. Run your race. You see, we all have a part in this. We are co-laborers with God. We're not doing it on our own. God helps us. But He says, run your race to win. Are you running to win? Are you doing your part? We want to win the prize. So why do so many fail? It's not because God is not able. It's not because we are not able. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We don't fail for lack of good intentions, but most often it is because we lack discipline. Life is too important to have a whatever attitude. Fulfilling God's purpose in our life is too important to not do our very best. In the Christian life, we're overcomers. We're more than conquerors. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be effort. That doesn't mean that you just punch a button. No, there's going to be discipline. Verse 25, he says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." Now, the NIV says goes into strict training. But temperate is really the better word if we understand the meaning of the word. He's talking about that we are controlled, that we don't go to extremes. And we certainly understand that about an athlete, that they discipline themselves to eat right. They avoid foods and substances that would harm their body and slow them down. They use discipline to train and to diligently pursue their goal. That's being temperate. They are in control of their schedule and their eating and their exercise. They don't go out smoking, partying all night, and then expect to win. No, they're temperate. Now they do it, he says, to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Listen, he says they do it, and then he says, but we do it. We're supposed to be temperate. We're supposed to be in control of our lives. We're not just living however, whatever. We're supposed to be disciplined, just like an athlete who wants to win. If we want to win in life, we're going to have to be disciplined. They do it for a trophy they can set up on a shelf. Whoopee. Oh, they went to the Olympics and they won the gold. It's a piece of material with the little metal thing on it. I know some of you are thinking, yeah, that's a big thing. Let me tell you what's a big thing. We're doing it for something that's going to last in eternity. It's not going to burn. It's going to last for all eternity. What we're doing it for is so much more important. How can we be undisciplined? We got to run to win. Be disciplined in living for God and doing the things that the Scripture tells us to do. Something that's going to last. Verse 26, he says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. See, so many believers just kind of live aimlessly. Even if they have goals, they don't realize that it takes discipline to get to those goals. He says, I'm not running aimlessly. In other words, every step counts. It's not just the big choices, it's the steps, the daily things, the habits, the patterns. It takes discipline. I'm making every step count. With each step, I'm getting a little closer to my goal. I make my punches count. I'm not just punching the air, I'm making it count. That's discipline. Verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Without discipline, we don't attain our goals. We will not receive the rewards. We won't win. And we could even be disqualified. It's so important that we are disciplined. I know in a nation that's undisciplined, it's hard to talk about discipline, much less to actually live a disciplined life. But the best things in life don't come easy. And you got to be disciplined to get there. There's always tough places in life, always times when it doesn't feel good. I'm telling you, the fulfillment of a dream always comes with challenges. It takes more than just fun and feeling good to win in life. If you want to win in your marriage, then sometime you're going to have to tell your wife, sweetheart, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Now, when you do that, it doesn't always feel good. It's not always fun, but it's smart. And that's what you do. I'm just telling you, we can't just live by our feelings and what's fun and what we want to do at the moment. We got to be disciplined about how we handle life. If we want to succeed in life, we got to be willing to discipline ourselves. Too often in America, and too often even in the church, we have that attitude, if it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. Even in church, people have that mindset. I mean, if it's not fun and it doesn't feel good, well, that must be the devil. I rebuke you, Satan, get thee behind me. I mean, this mindset that everything is supposed to feel good, everything is supposed to be fun, and it keeps people from being disciplined and accomplishing what God wants to do in their life. Let me tell you, we want wealth without work. Anybody found that get-rich scheme yet that works? No. I'm just telling you, people are always looking for wealth without having to work for it, just easy overnight money. Success without sacrifice. We want beautiful bodies without exercise. Give me that pill. Maybe it's a surgery. No, maybe it's discipline. So we're going to talk about five areas that we especially need discipline, and then how to have discipline. Now, there's certainly more than five, but these are five big areas that we need to talk about this morning. We need discipline in dealing with our emotions and feelings. So many people allow their feelings, their emotions, to dictate their decisions, to run their life. Proverbs 25 and 28 in the NIV says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. You see, in the scripture, in the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah hears that the walls of the city of Jerusalem are broken down, it breaks his heart because he knows that a city without walls is going to be under constant attack. A city without walls is always going to have turmoil and trouble. And you see, if we don't have self-control in our life, if we are undisciplined, we're always going to be open to attack. We're always going to have trouble and turmoil. We're never going to get on with where God wants us to be. So you got to learn to control your emotions and your feelings instead of being controlled by your emotions and feelings. Now, there's times when I don't feel like working. Anybody else? There's times when I don't feel like doing the right thing. There's times when I don't feel like being loving and kind. It takes discipline to do what you're supposed to do, regardless of how you feel. Not too often, but every once in a while. At about 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I'll look over at Carmen and I'll say, let's just not go today. That's what she does. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, that just ain't right. I know. But sometimes we just don't feel like doing what we're supposed to do. We have to be disciplined. Don't let your emotions dictate to you. The attitude of our culture is you are what you feel. What a bunch of garbage. We need to get our head in the Bible and out of this crazy culture we live in. You are not what you feel. Get your feelings, your emotions under subjection. People get in a mood, and the world around them suffers because they're in a mood. I'm just telling you, emotions can be very destructive if they are not kept under discipline. Very powerful. You know, anger is one of the most powerful emotions. Proverbs 19:11 in the Living Bible, it says, a wise man restrains his anger and overlooks insults. This is to his credit. You know, it's easy to get angry. We live in such an angry time. And even Christians seem to think that it's okay to just be angry all the time. We ought to be angry. You know, us Christians, we're being mistreated. We're being persecuted. Well, in the first place, Christians in America don't know much about persecution. But in the second place, you remember where Jesus said, when you're persecuted as a Christian, when you're persecuted, get mad about it. Y'all remember where he said that? No, he said, jump and leap for joy and rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of Christians need to get their emotions under control. We've been duped and taken in with the philosophy, the attitude of the world. You want to get where God wants you to be in life? You want to win in life? Get your emotions under control. You discipline your emotions. Disciplined person doesn't just react to life. They act instead. You know, that just makes me so mad that they did that. That makes me so mad. They made me something. They have control over me. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, keep your head in all situations. Use your head. Don't allow your emotions, especially anger, to get you to do something stupid. Do you know, in DFW, you can have the opportunity to react, to get mad, because of some idiot driver, every single day. They cut you off, they drifted into your lane because they're playing on their phone, and you get all mad, and you want to run up on their tail and blah, blah. I was with a guy one day, and we're driving along, and somebody got up tailgating him, and he just literally slammed his brakes on. I was so thankful that the car behind us didn't hit us. You know why? I didn't want to sit on the side of the highway for the next 2 hours talking to the police and all that. I was wanting to go eat dinner. But your anger can do more than just ruin your day. It can ruin your life. It can destroy a marriage. It can wreck a home. It can wreck your kids. It can wreck your career. Stupid emotion. So you use discipline to control your emotion. You say, I was right. They were wrong. Well, let me tell you, the right thing is to control your anger. Proverbs 16:32 says, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Now, some of you tough guys, you think you're bad and you're all that. Okay, let me tell you who's better, a man who can control his temper. He has more strength. He's going to end up on top sooner or later. Second, we need to discipline our mouth. Wow, the Bible has so much to say about this. There's power of life and death in the tongue. We need to be careful how we use our mouth. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Let me tell you how you can ruin your life, your dreams, your goals, and not win. With the words of your mouth, just in a moment, you can say something that will mess things up that you've worked towards for years. Saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, I'm telling you, it creates big problems. Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. If we just keep our mouth shut, we bring so much trouble on ourselves because we don't watch our mouths. James 1:19 tells us to be slow to speak. Very unpopular concept in America. In fact, most Americans pride themselves on speaking their mind. Well, I just tell it like it is. Well, you just ain't being very smart. Sometimes you need to keep your mouth shut. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I struggle. I don't know if y'all can tell or not, but I like to tell it like it is. But you know, we need to be careful when we do that, because you don't always need to tell everything you know. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. Be slow to speak. The Bible says, where there are many words, sin is not absent. So many verses that tell us to be careful with our words. How is it that two Christians just can't get along in a marriage and they end up losing? A lot of the time, it's right here, what we're talking about right now. Their words destroy their marriage. Now, some people act like they're real spiritual. But if they don't control their words, if they're not disciplined with their mouths, I'm telling you, they're not spiritual at all. They're carnal. James 1:26, it says, if any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Useless, worthless, vain, futile. Listen, I know what the answer a lot of people would say to that. They'd say, oh, well, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. Listen, that is so much mumbo-jumbo semantics of the day. Religion in the Bible is not a dirty word. It's talking about living a spiritual life, living a godly life. And I understand that man-made religion is a problem. It's a problem in the Bible, and it's a problem in our day. But that's not what he's talking about here. Let me just rephrase it for you. If you think you're spiritual, but you don't bridle your own mouth, your spirituality is fake. We got to discipline our mouth. Keep it bridled. Keep it under control. Third, we need discipline in our use of time. If you waste your time, you are wasting your life. You see, in this life, our life is made up of time. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. See, we all have opportunities. You might say, oh, I haven't been given opportunity. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Every single day when you get up and start your day, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to spend time with God. You have an opportunity to say something spiritual to your kids as they go out the door. You have opportunities all day long. Remember, we talked about making each step count. You got opportunities. Everybody has 168 hours in a week. There's not some special people that get more than you do. And yet some people accomplish way more than others. It's not just because they're stronger, they're smarter. It's because they're disciplined. They have a schedule, they have a routine, and they get things done in a disciplined fashion. I'm telling you, if you want to win, you need to discipline your use of time. Manage your time. Here's three things you need to know about time. To be a success in anything, it takes time. Second, you don't have time for everything. You're going to have to make choices. When people say, I don't have time, we all have the same amount. They've just chosen to do something different with theirs. Third, if you don't intentionally decide how you'll use your time, it'll just be wasted. You got to manage your time. So you manage time like a wise steward. You choose how you're going to spend your time. Spend time with the Lord every day. It takes discipline sometimes to turn the TV off and get alone with God. It takes discipline to read the Bible and dig into the Scripture and just play, instead of just playing around on Facebook. Study yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, it takes discipline to do that. Study the Bible. It takes time, but you got to be disciplined to do it. Some things are just more important and deserve our time. So you use discipline and you create margins in your schedule, in your time. See, a lot of us, we don't get things done. We miss some of the important things in life because urgent things come up and we just never get to the things that were important. And that's why we don't get to that place of victory. You need to have some margins in your time. Most people don't get to the prize because too many other things crowded out what was really important. They didn't have time to do what needed to be done to be successful. It's true in education, it's true in a career, and it's even more true in raising children and in doing anything for God. Fourth, we need discipline in how we handle money. Jesus talked a lot about money. It's a big deal. And you need to know how to handle money, and you need discipline to do it. Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. The wise man saves for the future. Are you saving for the future? Are you putting back when in good times? You say, well, I never had those yet. That's a good indicator. You need to use discipline when it comes to money. And just as we need margins in our time, we need margins in our finances. Young couple decides they want to get married, and, you know, the girl's dad is like, well, how's this going to work? How are y'all going to get by? And they figure up all of their fixed expenses, and this is what we got coming in, and this is what we got going out. We're going to have $14.37 left over at the end of every month, so we're good. As long as we don't have to buy tires, as long as nobody gets sick and needs to go to the doctor, as long as nothing breaks, as long as there's not any life that just happens. And so many people find themselves in that situation and they're not ready for it. I'm telling you, you got to learn to manage your money and how you use it. Most Americans don't have enough savings to cover 1 month of expenses. We've been told that we can have it all now. I'm going to live within my means, even if that means putting it on a credit card. I'm telling you, if you got more going out than what's coming in, something has to change. Now, I think most people are doing the best they can to make a living. They work and they do what they know to do, to, you know, have the best income that they have. And if they knew how to make more money, they would, if for no other reason, just so they could spend more. And there's the real issue. We need discipline when it comes to our spending. The attitude of our culture is, I see it, I want it, I got to have it so I can finally be happy. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a new car or a new TV, the biggest, better, whatever screen, that new phone that's coming out, and got to have this dress and those shoes and that purse. Listen, I'm telling you, none of it is really going to make you happy. It's a deception. It's a lie. And yet most people just spend and spend thinking that that's what they really need in their life. And so many struggle because they spend everything they make. And if they got a $10,000 a year raise, they wouldn't save $10,000. They wouldn't save $8,000. They wouldn't save $5,000. They probably wouldn't even save $1,000. If they get a $10,000 a year raise, most Americans are going to spend that $10,000, and they're not going to be any happier than they were the year before. And the Bible tells us that we should be wise with our money. We should save. Manage your money. Instead of deficit spending, we need disciplined spending. You know, deficit spending, that's when you spend more than what you make. And only the government is allowed to do that because they can print money. You're not supposed to print money. So you have to spend less than you make. Next, we need discipline with our bodies. Paul specifically says this. He says, I discipline my body and keep it under subjection. He says, I don't allow my body to run my life. If your body runs your life, it'll ruin your life. Here's the amazing thing about this is that if your body is actually in charge, eventually it'll destroy itself. You got to get your body under control. In the NIV, it says, I make it my slave. Don't let your body tell you what to do. Don't be a slave to your body. You're in control. You're in charge of your body. And so you use discipline with your body. You can't run your race effectively if your body is in charge. This old clay vessel is not supposed to be in charge. You are. If we allow it, it'll be lazy. It'll be gluttonous. It'll seek only pleasure. It doesn't like to work. It sure doesn't like to pray. And it especially doesn't like to fast. So how are you going to live a spiritual life if your body is in charge? You got to keep it under subjection. Too many lives are cut short because somebody's body was running their life. And way too many lives, listen, are not able to live the life that they could have because they're being hindered by physical limitations because they're struggling with their body. Now, there are certainly lots of health issues that are not related to daily habits, but here's the truth. Most of the common health issues of our culture are related to daily habits. Discipline. We can't allow our bodies to control us. Instead, we got to control our bodies. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, it says that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. You know, in that passage, he's specifically talking about immorality. But I think the principle holds true. We have to know how to control our own bodies. So is your body controlling you? Are you controlling it? Now let's talk about how to develop discipline. How can we be disciplined? I'm going to give you five things real quick. First, we have to know that discipline is what we need. I mean, I've been talking about it all morning, but listen to me. You got to really know this, that discipline is the answer. If you want to win in life, it's going to take discipline. As long as you think that there's a quick fix, there's got to be an easier way, as long as you're looking for some other answer, you're not going to be disciplined. So you got to know that it takes discipline. We talked about this last week, but a lot of the time we just, rather than be disciplined, we like to just blame. The reason that I'm overweight, it's because I have bad genes. I mean, you should see my family. The reason I have a bad temper is because it runs in the family. And the reason I have financial problems is because the stupid government has wrecked our economy. As long as we can blame something else, we don't have to be disciplined. But here's the bigger problem is that so much of the time, we think that there's some kind of a quick fix out there. If you need to lose 10 pounds, this product is for you. You don't have to exercise. You can still eat the foods you love. Just take our little pill, lay down and go to sleep, and while you sleep, the pounds will magically melt off of your body. Hallelujah. Right now, for a limited time, because, you know, they're not going to make any more of this. For a limited time, you can get our special product. And you know why they do this? Because there's people buying it. The hope, the dream that it could just be in a simple pill. No discipline required. Just take this little pill. The magic product has finally arrived. Anybody remember that ab belt stuff a few years ago? You know, you put this ab belt on and it had got these little electric pulses and you can sit on the couch and eat your giant platter of nachos while you watch the Super Bowl, and when you get up, you're going to have abs of steel. It's not real. There's only one way. It takes discipline. See, all this stuff around us all the time, as long as you think that there might be another way. And Christians are some of the worst about looking for a quick fix. Too often people see the Lord as a way, as a quick fix for a life full of bad choices, bad decisions. They don't eat right. They don't exercise. They don't treat their body right. But they want God to zap them with divine health. I want you to hear me now. I believe that God is merciful and gracious, and He does heal. I believe the promises of His Word. But I also know that we should not tempt the Lord by abusing our bodies and being foolish in our decisions and the daily habits of our life. We need to be disciplined. As long as there's that potential of a quick fix, we won't be disciplined. A guy comes on the TV evangelist, and he says, tonight only, God has told me that if you will send your very best offering, that means all you have, by the way, if you'll send your very best offering, then there's going to be supernatural debt cancellation. Forget about the fact that for 20 years you've been robbing God in tithes and offerings. Forget about the fact that you spend way more than you make and your finances are in a total wreck. Tonight, if you'll send that offering, it'll all be fixed. He goes off in a new jet and you go off broker than the Ten Commandments. I'm telling you the truth. That is not the way it works. I know that God can do miracles. I know that God does do miracles of provision. But hear me now. If you will be disciplined to work and be diligent and you'll be disciplined to save and put back and not spend, not buying things and signing up for things that you don't have to have. Listen, and if you'll be diligent to honor God with the first fruits of all your increase, I'm telling you that God will, over time, He will turn it all around. He will bless you, and He'll make you a blessing to others. He'll give you financial freedom, but it's not a quick fix. It takes discipline and obedience to God to get there. Now, so we got to know that it takes discipline. There's not a quick fix. Next, believe God will help you. We talked about this last week, but it's so important. We are never trying to do this on our own. This is not human willpower. It's not just us in our own strength. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. We are doing this with God's help. See, human willpower will always fail. Romans 7:15, Paul says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And so often, when we just set out with human willpower, sooner or later, we find ourselves defeated. So we are believing God. We are asking for God's help, not just to accomplish our big goal. We're asking for God's help to be disciplined. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. He's given us a spirit of self-discipline. This is who we are. This is how we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be like the world. Listen, self-control is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit inside of you is able to produce this self-control, this temperateness, discipline in your life. So you look to God and you stand on the promises of God's Word. And whatever area of life where maybe you're struggling or you're weak, get a promise, get a hold of a scripture, and you stand on that. You keep your eyes on that promise instead of on your problem. And I'm telling you, if you believe God, He'll help you to learn discipline in that area of your life. It's so important that we believe God, because let me tell you what one of the greatest dangers to success is. Pride. You start thinking, oh, I'm doing pretty good now. Look at me. You are headed for destruction. Pride goes before destruction. And when you start thinking, look at me, it's over. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And we need His help. So we are always believing Him, trusting Him, staying humble, and giving Him the glory. Number three, decide in advance. I have found this to be one of the most practical and most powerful things that you can do in being disciplined. Decide in advance. Proverbs 13 and 16 in the Living Bible says, a wise man thinks ahead. A fool doesn't, and even brags about it. Discipline is a choice that you make before you have to. If you're going to exercise regularly, I'm going to tell you, you decide ahead of time to do it. If you wait until it's time to exercise and you're like, well, we'll see how it works, I'm going to tell you a lot of the time it ain't going to work out. You're not going to do it. I know from personal experience, the best way to exercise regularly is to have a set schedule. I'm going to work out at this time and this time and this time. The year that I ran every day for a year, I can assure you this was key. I couldn't decide that day if I was going to run, because there were days when I had a bad cough. There were days when my ankle hurt. There were days when I was exhausted. There were days when the weather was horrible. I had decided I was running every day. I decided ahead of time. I want to tell you, you got to decide some things before you get there. Teenagers, you don't go to a party and then decide if you're going to drink or not. You have to already have decided. If you're a young person or a single person, you don't wait till you're in the middle of a passionate embrace to decide what's right and what's wrong. Whether or not you're going to live honorably and holy. You've already decided. Well, I'm preaching really good right now. Y'all getting quiet on me. I'm just telling you, there's things you need to decide ahead of time so when you get there, you're not having to figure it out in the midst of it. You already decided. See, you decide how much you're willing to pay for a car before you go to the lot. Well, I never did that before. You've been doing it wrong. Man, they see you coming. You decide ahead of time. You don't go to the grocery store and walk every aisle and look at every, ooh, I like that and I like that. You get you a list. You've already decided what you're going to buy. Decide ahead of time. Anytime you can, you try to decide ahead of time and use your head that way. Number four, enlist support. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 in the NIV says it this way, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. See, when you mess up, you got somebody, you're accountable, you got somebody there to help you. Verse 12, he says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. There's strength in numbers. The Bible tells us that we're to admonish one another, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to pray for one another. That's part of the value of the body of Christ in small groups, having those relationships with others, is that, listen, we all need each other. All of us have areas and times in our life where we're weak, where we struggle, and we can draw strength from others. Weight Watchers gets this. Alcoholics Anonymous gets this. Why can't we get this? That we can draw strength from one another to be more disciplined, to stick with it when it's tough. Accountability is not a bad thing. We are better together. Number five, focus on the reward. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. He chose to give up what most people would have called a great life. He had riches, he had prestige, he had power, he had everything going for him, but he gave it all up because he saw a reward. There was something better. Something better than even all that riches and power and prestige. He fulfilled the purpose of God in his life because it brought a long-term reward. So much better than momentary pleasure. You see, sin has pleasure for a short time. That's why people do it. Come on. That's why we do it. Because it's fun for just a little while. But then it's over and there's a price to pay. But when we do what we're supposed to do, when we are disciplined in our life and we follow through and we obey God, there is a long-term reward that's coming. It's short-term pain, and we don't like that, but it's long-term gain. And I'm telling you, so many things in life, it takes discipline, but the joy will come. The gain, the reward is out there. You need to keep your eyes on the reward that's coming to you. It's delayed gratification. That means you do the hard part now so that you can enjoy later. Do your homework first so you can go play and enjoy it. You work hard so you can relax later. You sow so that you can reap later. You parent diligently so that you can have the joy of seeing godly children who serve the Lord. Oh, what a great joy. I want to tell you, it doesn't come easy. It takes discipline. When you're doing the hard part of marriage, you keep your eye on this reward, a blessed marriage. See, the world always tries to find that shortcut. You talk about discipline and marriage. Well, that ain't in any romance novel I ever read. That's not in any chick flick. Let me tell you, the Bible will tell you how to have a good marriage. And this stuff that you get from the world is pure garbage. Oh, well, it just comes on you and it's, oh. I don't know everything about it, but after 36 years, I know that it's more than just this romance, this feeling that swept over me. Listen, here's the truth. You do the things that you're supposed to do every day. You treat each other right. You talk to each other the way the Bible says to. Be disciplined about it. And there's a payoff of a great marriage. You can't find this shortcut of romance and sexual satisfaction, just quick fix. That's what most people settle for. They get shortchanged. They settle for pornography. Let me tell you something. God has something so much better. It is the reward of a blessed marriage. But it takes discipline to get there. Daily discipline. But what a payoff. See, the reward of studying, finishing high school. I know there's always exceptions, so let me just say it. There's some people that don't even have a high school education, and they're going to start a business, and they're going to make millions of dollars. Let me tell you how they did that. Lots of discipline. But for the average person, for most people, the vast majority of people, if they get a high school education, they're going to make probably around $500,000 in their life, more than they would have without that high school education. And if they finish their degree, they're probably going to make a couple of million dollars more than they would have if they didn't. Again, well, so-and-so, he did it, and he didn't have a degree. I know, he did it with discipline too, though. But here, you need to get this. You see, it's discipline now, whether it's studying or working, and there's a payoff later. There's a reward that's coming. The reward of financial discipline is financial freedom. Moral discipline brings a clear conscience and no condemnation. Physical discipline means you feel better, you look better, you live longer, you enjoy your grandkids longer. Spiritual discipline means the Lord will use you in a greater way. Oh, He loves you no matter what you do, but I'm telling you that He said to the servant who was wicked and lazy, He said, take what he has and give it to the other one. But it was those who were faithful, those faithful stewards that He entrusted with more. I'm telling you, there's always a reward for discipline, for doing what God would have us do each and every day. And here's what I will close with this. You can win. He says, run in such a way as to get the prize. God does not tell us to do things that we can't do. We can't do it on our own, but He'll help us. And if He says, run to win, you can, but it's going to take discipline, and it's so worth it. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank You for Your people, and I thank You, Lord, that Your Word speaks into our life. It is alive and powerful, and I pray, Father, that this seed of the Word of God will bring forth a great harvest in our lives. Much change, much fruit, and much glory and honor to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we dismiss this morning, I want to invite you to come for prayer. Some of you here this morning, you need to make a big change in your life. It's time for you to turn your life over to the Lord. You've been doing it your way. It's time to let God have His way in your life. Some of you here this morning, you've just kind of been going aimlessly, not really making the most of it, not being disciplined. You need to make a change. You need to make a decision. You're not going to let life just pass you by. You're not going to waste any more of it, but you're going to be disciplined. Some of you have tried and tried and tried in your own strength. come for prayer this morning and truly put your trust in God to help you. Give Him the glory and the honor. See, when you trust Him, He gets the glory. When it's just you, well, it's not going to end well. However God may be dealing with your heart, I just encourage you to come. If you've come with a prayer need this morning, you're welcome. We'd be glad to pray with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.